Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
I'm not invincible. The great Floyd Mayweather isn't invincible. Nobody's invincible. You just have guys that are really, really good at what they do. And that's just what it is. But anybody can be knocked out. Anything can happen in that ring. And that's why boxing has the buzz and intrigue that it has. And that's why it'll never die, because I'm a huge sports fan. I watch all sports. But it's one thing to watch a team sport, but it's something else to watch two men at the highest level battle. And one may be favored over the other, but you never know what's going to happen. And that's why boxing is the way it is.
Time to take it to the Bronx and bring in the Bronx Bomber himself, Mr. Socrates Palmer. Boxing's 2PAC. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great,
Pedro. How are you doing?
It's a great day for boxing. Of course, the WBA junior welterweight champion, Mario Barrios. Of course, good-looking fighter. No doubt about that. Trained by Virgil Hunter over here in Oakland, California, Hayward, California. Taking on the tank, Gervonta Davis. Now, Davis has got his problems outside the ring, but when it comes to inside the ropes, he's unbeatable, or he looks unbeatable. Talk to me.
Gervonta Davis is one of those guys that when you know he's fighting, you plan your Saturday night around. You know, he fights in a very explosive style. He's flashy. He's got extremely fast hands, great punching power. And like you said, you know, his biggest weakness is outside the ring. You know, I think that's probably going to be his downfall at some point in his career. If he doesn't mature, you wonder how serious boxing is to him. But this Saturday, I don't see Mr. Barrios being someone who's going to foil him.
Well,
he's going to be his foil.
But you say that, but yet in the end, we're moving up in weight. And I told you, size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. This happens to be combat sports. And 140 pounds, the guy's going to weigh in probably about, when you step in the ring, probably about 153, 154 pounds. And, you know, Davis, even if he puts on a decent amount of weight, he's probably going to weigh in the low 40s, correct?
Yeah, that is true. I mean, because he is short, you know, which is another factor, not the fact that he's just putting on a few extra pounds. He's, you know, extremely short. And Barrios has to really fight tall, I think, to win. But he's got to be aggressive. You know, he can't show Tank respect. He has to show Tank early that, hey, you're coming up to my neighborhood. You know, yeah, it's not the other way around. I remember when Tank fought Pedraza, who's had a great past year and a half,
mm-hmm.
but Tank made Pedraza look extremely ordinary. And Pedraza, similar body structure to Barrios. And he kind of just waited for Tank. You can't. I think Barrios has to be the aggressor. He's got to show who's the boss in there early. He's got to get Tank's respect, or Tank's going to run him over.
You know, Tank Davis, of course, Gervonta Davis, unbeaten, coming to us with the WBA lightweight champion, WBA junior lightweight champion. Of course, he was supposed to hook up with Ryan Garcia, or talk about a fight with Ryan Garcia, but Ryan's got his issues. I'm going to have Mauricio on Sunday, so I guess we'll get the Ryan Garcia answers in. But have you heard anything about him being back in training?
He put up some pictures of him hitting the bag and doing some showboat moves. I don't know if he's back with Reynoso, or if he's just hitting the bag in his garage, but he posted that he's kind of has his issues behind him. Mm-hmm. He's looking forward to coming back into the ring. I had heard a possible opponent. Originally it was supposed to be Fortuna, but now there's somebody else. So
Scott Cuddy, Pedro Fernandez, maybe the Bronx Bomber. In other words, they're looking for a guy that can, right? Look at those three guys he can beat.
Hey, man. Kids are expensive. I'll take them.
Okay. You know, Virgil Hunter is going to be in the corner of Mr. Barrios. Of course, the guy that brought us Andre Ward. Of course, he discovered Andre Ward. He made Andre Ward. I mean, him and Andre were like 15, 14 years old together, Andre was pushing a station wagon around out there in Hayward, California. That's how he sort of getting in shape, got real strong. Anyway, bottom line is he had a fighter in Andre Ward, is a one of a kind, if not one of a lifetime fighter. Is he an accomplished trainer outside of Andre Ward?
Well, he did work with Amir Khan for a little bit.
And what happened? What happened there?
I'm sorry,
Scott. I'm giving you a bad time.
I mean, it's like I always make the comparison that a trainer is not that different from a jockey in horse racing. You need the thoroughbred to win the race,
mm-hmm.
you know. And yeah, there are trainers that take guys from day one and mold them. You know, Emmanuel Stewart, Freddie Roach. You know, and there's some guys that are just great strategists, great motivators. Virgil, he's great on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he seems like a very calming voice in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
He you know, and he has like that professor vibe. You know, he commands that respect in the corner. And I think the fighters that he's had, you know, kind of gravitate to that. And Andre Ward, it's almost like similar personalities. You know, you hear Andre on TV and the way he fights, he's cool under pressure. And I think if he's able to pull off the upset tomorrow, then it's like, wow, you know, it's going to be major props for Virgil Hunter. Not that he needs it, because, you know, he trained one of the great fighters of all time in Andre Ward.
Well, I don't know if he was the greatest fighter, but one of the greatest of all time. He could have been. I think that he misses potential by not signing with a major promoter, don't you think? I mean, had he went with Don King or Bob Arum instead of Dan Goosen, I mean, all due respect to Dan Goosen, but Dan Goosen was sort of like AAA compared to the New York Yankees.
Yeah. I mean, and also the fact that Andre didn't fight in the most exciting style. I mean, outside of the Super Six, the Super Six, you know, when he ran through that, really made Andre's career.
Yeah.
You know, without that, I mean, I'm not talking about Andre Ward.
Okay.
You know, and it's funny because at the beginning of Andre's career, Andre's chin was in question. He got dropped by a schmo.
On
Fox.
I was there, and that was down there in near Fresno, California. We were a bit surprised about that, but
right.
You know, and Gary Radnish told me he had a bad chin. I said, Gary, how can you say that? He got dropped by a bum. I go, oh, Gary, how can you say that? Your father is a professional fighter. And yeah, and you would have said the guy was a bum. Oh man. Anyway, Gary Radnish, of course, of KMBR Radio here. But Andre Ward, you can tell he's training. To look at him. I mean, he's got no more double chin. He had a double chin 3 months ago, and it's gone.
You know, he's on TV. I mean, you got to look presentable, right?
No, bro. No. I'm telling you, he has really trimmed up his act in the last 120 days.
Do you think that he's starting to get that itch and chasing that one big check?
One big check with Canelo.
With red hair?
Yeah, with the kid with the red hair. No doubt about that.
You stole my punchline. Yeah, the red hair and
The red hair and maybe, you know, I mean, he can make more money in one fight than he ever made in his entire career.
That is without a doubt. Wow. Absolutely.
We're talking about Andre Ward, of course, the 2004 Olympic gold medalist. When I predicted he would win the gold medal, everybody said to me, you're a shill. I said, no, he's going to do it. And he did it, and I wasn't a shill. Bottom line is, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Back with Socrates Palmer, Boxing's PhD, after the break.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC. You ought to be having fun. Everybody, come on, have
some fun with me. Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Thank y'all for tuning in. All the fans around the world, we love y'all.
So with this big night of fighting, of course, we've got Tank Davis in a fight he's supposed to roll over Mr. Berrios. He's a 5-1 favorite. Gustavo Lomachenko returns against Nakatani.
Yeah, that's a really interesting fight. You know, I think the it's a shame, you know, that it's almost been overshadowed, or he's sharing the spotlight with Davis, when at one point there were rumors that they were both going to meet. You know, Lomachenko, everyone's anticipating was it just a bad night against Teofimo Lopez? Does he, how much does he have left in the tank? Pardon the pun. Nakatani's not a pushover. It's a really good test. We saw Nakatani Teofimo Lopez a rough night.
He turned the guy into a murderer.
Yes, he did. His last time out, he smoked Verdejo. So this guy
explain to the audience what Verdejo did, because we just went in there and they say, what's he talking about?
Well, okay. I mean, Felix Verdejo performed one of the most heinous acts of
mankind
of the modern. Yeah, man, he's a real despicable human being.
He killed his pregnant mistress. That's what we were alluding to. He killed his pregnant mistress. Okay, so we've got these fights going on. Davis wins. Hector says Davis wins going away. You say he wins. He wins. The other guy's got to fight big. If he doesn't fight big, he gets smoked within 7-8 rounds.
I think so. The one thing that Berrios has, at least psychologically, he's an undefeated fighter. I mean, that's something that carries weight. Then again, who has he beaten? But still, he's an undefeated fighter. He hasn't lost a fight. So he's got that aura of invincibility. He's Mexican. Leo Santa Cruz, when's the last time Tank had a real fight? I mean, if you think about it, because it's been a long layoff. The last time he fought a blown up bantamweight in Santa Cruz. So if I wanted to make a case for Berrios, I could, but I just can't see that happening. I mean, I think Tank Davis is a special fighter. And I hope that Berrios puts up a good show. And I don't want to hear Showtime jumping out of their seats, calling Tank Davis a world champion, because this is a Fugazi belt. The real champion at 140 pounds is Josh Taylor.
Now, Mr. Hector's saying that this guy's going to run through the entire 140-pound division. Of course, we're going to bet with him on that one, so we'll see what's happening as far as that's concerned. But 140 pounds, it seems to be rocking and rolling. I mean, I think Josh Taylor is a real deal. He took care of Jose Ramirez, so I thought it was a pretty decisive fight, although he sort of made it a little, how can I put this, a little closer than he needed to make it, because he was pretty comfortable in that fight. But I think he's the best at 140, and we'll see what happens after tomorrow night. But evidently, Davis is going to look to fight him for all the belts.
That's supposed to be the move, but I think Bob Arum and Josh Taylor have Terrence Crawford in their sights, which would probably could be a bigger payday. I mean, especially if they have that fight overseas.
What
I think
about
Josh
payday versus risk, though? You see what I'm saying? I like paydays and less risk. In other words, if I can make $3 million fighting Davis and have less of a risk, you see what I'm saying? And making $5 million fighting the other guy.
Definitely makes sense. Absolutely, you are thinking of your future. Absolutely, as opposed to cashing out. I would agree. Okay. I definitely would see Tank as an easier fight than Terrence Crawford, because Tank is going to fight one way. That's the only way for him to beat a Josh Taylor is to catch him on the chin, and Josh Taylor has a great chin.
Good point.
Terrence Crawford is a dynamic fighter.
Okay. Michael Dasimarinas came in from the Philippines last week. He was talking all kinds of smack, and I said to him myself, this is probably not the guy you should be talking all this kind of smack to, Ninoa Inouye, and it wasn't. Inouye just took him apart.
That dude is the real deal, man. That's
the monster.
All I can say. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's got the great nickname, and he's just a beast. He really is. That body shot was to quote Mike Tyson, just murderous. it was a vicious shot, and Inouye keeps making his claim, in the conversation of the best pound for pound fighters in the world. I know another Filipino has been lobbying a rematch in Donaire, and we're probably going to see that next.
No, it looks like Donaire is going to take on the WBO champion, and then the winner is going to take on fight for all the belts. That's the rumor I've been hearing.
Okay. I mean, probably be best for Donaire, because I don't see a rematch you know, being any different, okay, just because of the age.
Okay, the WBC number one ranked middleweight was on in action last week. I'm talking about Jaime McGee. He was the winner of a guy by the name of Camille Cesamoreta. We'll just put it like that. Camille is toast. I mean, Jermell Charlo was a winner as well, over Juan Macias Montiel. Of course, that one went to distance. McGee was a winner inside the distance. McGee is ranked number one at 160. How do he and Charlo match up?
You know what? It's funny because McGee stopped Montiel when they fought.
Yeah.
And McGee's record of opponents has been kind of like, okay, he's got 37 fights, 38 fights, and we're still kind of waiting for the quote-unquote step up. you know, but he took care of Montiel, and last week, Montiel gave Charlo some issues. He had his moments. He buzzed Charlo. I don't know if it was a matter of him not taking an opponent serious, but Montiel came to fight. He came to win, came up short, you know. The Charlos, I was as high on the Charlo brothers as anyone. I mean, I thought they were the real deal, but they have, you talk about just their careers just taking a sideways step. Like, you know, I don't know if it's that curse of PBC. Good money.
Last week, Charlo says, you know, I'm staying at 160 pounds. That's my weight class. If Canelo wants to fight me, he can come to 160. I mean, that's sort of like saying, you know, I'm a AAA ball player, but I want to play in the World Series against, you know, the best pitcher in the entire world, but he's got to do it in my ballpark. That ain't going to happen.
Yeah, it's an easy way to avoid a big fight. And I don't think that Canelo's going to be chasing Charlo anytime soon. If Charlo's content to make good paydays and still be questioned, that's on him. You know, do fighters want that legacy, you know, or the check?
Okay. Does McGee look like he's, I mean, he was starving at 154. I mean, I know because I watched him do a couple of fights where before the fight, you could see the guy 3 days before he was like dizzy. You know what I'm saying? Like he's dizzy and trying to make weight. So at 154, that was a pain in the butt for him. At 160, he seems to have filled out. I watched his performance last week. Mechanically, he's sound.
Yeah. I mean, I think he is improving. He looked very green a couple of years ago. And it could have been the weight playing a factor. I think he's improving. He's got youth. And I think right now, if I was buying stock between the two, him or Charlo, I'd probably go with Munguia. I think Munguia has a better future.
Well, you know, as I said, ranked number one at the WBC, of course, at 160 pounds. At 168, the number one ranked guy is going to be David Benavidez. Of course, him and Canelo are going to eventually hook it up. Is that next year? Is that the Cinco de Mayo fight for May of next year?
That would probably make the most sense, considering that Canelo takes care of Caleb Plant. I don't know if that fight has been made official, but you know, I guess Caleb is just, you know, negotiating his worth, and props to him because it's going to be his last big payday. And hopefully we get Benavidez and Canelo, although Canelo did say he would never fight a Mexican, but Benavidez is half Ecuadorian, so yeah, maybe he makes an exception.
Good point. As far as the pound-for-pound fighter in the world is concerned, Canelo Alvarez, of course, he's coming off the Billy Joe Saunders win, had the win earlier this year. Is he going to take on the Caleb guy for the WBA belt? Is that the plan for September and then in November, possibly maybe Benavidez or another opponent or Andre Ward?
Well, I mean, that's been his goal for the last year and a half. He said he wants to unify all the belts at 168 pounds, and Caleb Plant is the last piece of the puzzle. If Caleb Plant prices himself out, then an Andre Ward fight is a very sellable fight. I mean, it's, you know, arguably the two most dominant fighters of the last 20 years, and it would be great. Okay. You know, Andre Ward, I mean, it would be tremendous. Okay, I mean,
Speaking of the greatest fighters of the last 25 years, Julio Cesar Chavez Sr. had an exhibition last week with Hector Camacho Jr. His two sons were on the card. One of those kids lost to Canelo's brother, who isn't a great fighter to begin with. And then the other guy lost to Anderson Silva, the MMA fighter, who weighed 205 pounds when he got in the ring. I mean, because they weighed in at 184, he went out and he gained 20 pounds in Silva. So it was 205 pounds. Chavez was barely 170, 180, you know what I mean? So what I'm trying to say is Chavez again screwed himself, didn't come in prepared.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't want to sound like a, I mean, I don't want to make it sound personal, because when you criticize Chavez, it's just, there's no other way, you know, like, you, I mean, can you, you could question his manhood, you can question his desire. I mean, he's gotten opportunities that other fighters will not get, you know, simply based off of his last name. So he has become a very easy person to dislike, okay. You know, he just has zero respect for himself. Okay. It seems that way. Or his legacy.
Last question for Boxing's PhD. I heard that Freddie Roach doesn't want to go to the Philippines and work with Manny Pacquiao. Do you think he should? Is this the perfect time to bring Alex Ariza back?
Well, that's wow. I mean, that's a loaded question, because, you know, Alex and Freddie are not on the best of terms.
No, I'm not talking about Alex. I'm not talking about Alex and Freddie. I'm talking about Alex and Manny. I mean, let's move Freddie right out of the picture.
Wow. Well, you know, Manny seems to be a loyal guy to Freddie. You know, he considers him a father figure. But as far as I know, Alex and Manny are still pretty cool.
They are real cool.
Yes, so it would be great. I mean, because let's face it, Manny Pacquiao's best run was when him and Freddie were together, and Alex was a part of that.
No doubt about that. Socrates, we're running up on a hard break. Say hello to the kids. Say hello to the family. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, my brother. Enjoy the fights. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV.
Let's do it. Anybody who wants to fight, let's go. Woo!